content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Want to go higher, baby? Sorry, I'm laughing before we're even getting started today. Oh my gosh, welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Daniel Tagg. So we've got Rosalie Robinson coming in here too. We're going to be talking about the power of questions with her. Diamond, you bought me this wonderful book, The Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. And I had this really cynical laugh.
It was very cynical. It was hilarious. It was very like evil villain. Like, yeah, I got questions for you. It was good.
I've got some questions.
Kind of scared to see what you ask.
I've promised Sean Wells that I would always bring up sex to make you uncomfortable, Daniel.
Yep.
That's part of the shtick. So, I was going to ask you the butterfly question. So it's the Book of Questions. It's a New York Times bestseller by Gregory Stock, PhD, revised and updated. And it says, Gregory Stock reminds us that what really matters are the questions. That's Seth Godin. I absolutely love him. I've got like several of his books. Here's the question. Uh-huh. I'll save the sex one for... Now, maybe I'll do the sex one first. Where did it go? Where's the darn sex one? Now I lost my page. Hold on a second.
Uh-oh. Oh, darn.
Oh, man.
I'm getting used to those questions, though.
Ah,
doesn't make me blush anymore, most of the time.
I read it. I'll try to... Let me go with the butterfly one.
Okay, so
for an all-expense-paid one-week vacation anywhere in the world, would you be willing to tear the wings off of a beautiful butterfly? everybody knows my answer.
We talked about this.
I was younger, I would have said yes without thinking about it. Now, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I wouldn't.
There's
just no point.
No. Yeah. And why would you do that? Because that's a slippery slope.
It is.
Even having that mindset where you would hurt somebody else to get ahead.
Right.
Let alone monetarily, but I guess, you know, time is money. They're all the same, but that you would hurt another creature, be it just a little butterfly, it doesn't matter, to get, a monetary reward. I don't think anybody that is a good person could answer that question and say, yes, they would. I know everybody's question, answer here.
I would kill a snake to go on a wing week vacation. Snakes are horrible. Like a poisonous snake that was going to bite me? Yeah, I'd kill it.
You know what? The last two things that I killed were a snake about 2 years ago, and it was poisonous, and then what I thought was a brown recluse spider. Other than that, I don't even kill cockroaches. I save June bugs. I know I've been on this June bug kick lately because it's May and they come in June here in Texas. And I save probably 100 June bugs a day.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that a June bug lives 3 years?
I did not. I don't even know necessarily what a June bug is.
It's those brown... little beetles looking bugs that spin around if they get flipped upside down. Well, most beetles do, but their feet are really tacky. So when you pick them up, they stick to you.
Oh, interesting. I don't think I've ever picked one up. I think I know what you're talking about now.
Oh,
I haven't seen one of those for a while.
Well, come out to my house. There's about 200 of them every morning. Yeah. I swear 100 out by my, barn, my dog house.
I got about 200 birds outside my house. They're making nests all over.
I wish I could find, I can't find the sex one. What did I do with it?
You don't remember the question?
So the question was based, here it is. Here it is. Okay.
We got it.
Okay. Viagra was just the beginning. Okay. If there were two new drugs, one to raise your sex drive for 24 hours, the other to lower it, do you think you'd use either of them regularly? For example, increasing your sex drive for recreation and then lowering it if you had work to do.
I would take the lowering one because I believe in sustaining from sex until I'm married. So it'd be nice not to have a drive at all.
Okay. Well, that makes you have to work harder for it.
I guess. Yeah,
yeah,
it does.
Right? Yeah. So I've never had a sex drive problem. So I can't even imagine, you know, I'm you know, I don't know. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. You asked the question.
Next question. Moving on.
No, I'm going to ask Diamond. Diamond, would you do that? Or Aviana, would you do that?
No. I don't think so.
No.
If the stuff was safe, then yeah, I would do it.
You would?
Yeah.
Do you have a sex drive problem?
Just to control my feelings or elevate it when you need to be elevated, I guess you could say, like ovulation or something like that.
Yeah, now ovulation, I have
to say. I grew up with all
there's
girls.
Something. I used to have friends tell me I look different when I'm ovulating. I get like this look in my eye, like they can just tell. They can tell. But you know, I feel like I'm strong enough now that I can control it. We all can control it. I mean,
we can.
There's nothing worse than watching someone who can't control themselves sexually. And I'm going to tell you, it's my brother. God bless his soul. He's passed away, but man, you know, he ruined his life with that. Really, at the end of the day, and a lot of men do. They let their, you know what, run their life.
Yep.
They do, and so you're smart to do what you're doing, Daniel.
It's totally avoidable. It just takes discipline and. But when you're younger, it's definitely harder.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Damn, when you get married, you're going to have one heck of a night, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, should I ask another question?
Sure.
Next one.
Okay, next one is, if you were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, how would you change your behavior? What if only your own kids were noticing you and being affected? So the first part of this question is, if you were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, how would you change your behavior?
I don't think I'd change it at all.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything. I mean, I try to be a role model for everyone that comes in contact with me.
Yeah, me too, I think. I mean,
we all fail constantly, but I don't think there's anything I'd change.
Yeah. I think my biggest vice is I swear too much sometimes.
Okay. Ooh, you know, yeah.
I do. I swear too much. And I think it's from, number one, I grew up in New York. I grew up Italian, Irish, and I was in the restaurant business for many, many years. And I know it's like, well, you're making excuses, but the restaurant business is tough, I'm telling you. And you deal with a lot of people that you just want to choke sometimes.
Right.
The general public. I mean, think about the people out there driving, how terrible they drive. Mm-hmm. Those same people are like your nightmare customers in a restaurant. And,
right.
You know, of course, you can't tell them anything. You can't really say anything. You have to be courteous. And so, you know, you go to the back kitchen and you're like,
tension. That's better than hitting them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can't do that without getting arrested. But,
right. But
yeah, I think that's the one thing I would change. And I try not to curse in front of my kids, but you know, I fail sometimes. I think most parents do, if we're all being honest with one another. Mm-hmm. But even me, I
cussed in front of my little sister once. I was driving and someone, you know, we almost got in a wreck and I said the F-bomb, and I usually never say any cuss words, but sometimes like when I'm really stressed and driving, or used to be, right?
Yeah.
Someone would almost cut you off or you do something where you almost crash or
and
something.
And you're like, mother!
And it would slip out. I've been around a lot of, you know, sports performances
You
know, fighting wildland fires, doing construction, you're around cussing all the time.
What about in the gym? Do men cuss a lot in the gym?
You know, not in our gym.
No.
I think like,
grunting.
Yeah, a lot of grunting.
A lot of grunting.
But even not a lot so in Telos. Like if you go to more just a bodybuilder,
Telos.
Like a bro.
I like the way you say that.
Telos. Yeah,
Telos. Is it Telos or Telos?
Now you're making me second guess. Telos. It means perfectly complete or completeness.
Really?
In Greek, yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I should get my pen out of my mouth so I can speak clearly. But these are all really good questions. I like this.
Yeah, those are good.
Well, and we're going to be talking with Rosalie about the power of questions. And with you, we're going to be talking about exercises to tone the arms. Mm-hmm. Now, this is mainly a chick thing, right? Mm-hmm.
It usually is. Girls want toned arms. Guys want massive arms.
Right.
So I'm going to kind of go over the definition of toned and, you know, really what we're looking for and kind of my definition. So if you look in the dictionary, toned is always talking about a sound thing. It never actually gives a definition of the body. That's something that we kind of created.
Yeah.
So it's all subjective.
My arms are somewhere in the middle right now. They're a little muscular. Mm-hmm. They're not as toned as I'd liked.
I'm always trying to get mine bigger. And that picture that I showed you earlier where I'm by the lake, I was like, hey, my arm looks a little better. I was like, hey, I'm liking it.
Isn't that funny how guys are like that? Do my arms look big enough? I saw a picture of Ryan and Sean. I don't know what they were doing, but Ryan's arm looked massive.
Ryan, for his body size, has massive arms.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you guys measure it?
We didn't. But it was so funny because I know where you're going
with
that. But
it's no, so I'm not. Guys measure their stuff. Guys, they do. They measure their arms.
Guys are competitive about everything, right? Well, so Sean, Ryan, and I all did this meditative apparatus at the conference we were at this week in the Paleo FX, and mm-hmm. you were there too. So we all sit down, and you get these headphones on, and they put these other things that kind of put some electrodes around your brain, and it's measuring how deep into a meditative state you go. And then the headphones,
really?
Yeah. So there's a lot of distractions. The expo is very loud.
Oh my
right?
gosh, yeah. I mean, you did the show with me.
Yeah,
thank you very much too. By the way, you did a great job. I'm not sure I could have done it without Daniel. He really. It was our first time ever doing like a live remote walking around like that, and he made it easy breezy for
y'all,
me. Just having
did it like pros.
We did. We were like pros, Daniel. You and I.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So you know, one of the. Did you finish your? You didn't finish.
No.
Your thought. Go ahead.
So the thought was the competitiveness, right? So this thing you put on in the headphones, the more distracted you are, they have like thunderstorms and kind of relaxing sounds and raindrops and stuff like that going. And the more distracted you are, the louder it gets. And the less distracted you are, the deeper into meditation, the quieter that gets. And then when you're in a meditative state for at least 5 seconds, you get this bird tweeting. So the goal is to get as many tweets as you can in 2 minutes, right? So there's four of us doing it. There's another girl doing it there, and she gets two. Like good. I'm like, I get three, so I beat her. I feel pretty good about myself. And then Sean gets zero, which is funny. But he didn't understand exactly what the goal was anyways. But anyways, Ryan gets on there, and he ended up going 3 minutes for whatever reason. And he looked just like he was like tense and tight. And I was like, oh, I got this. He comes up. 27 tweets.
27
like,
tweets.
Is there nothing that you're not good at, man? I was like, come
man,
on.
Man, that's awesome.
Kid is good at everything.
I wish I could pull it out, but I was reading Tribe of Mentors earlier today, Timothy Ferris's book, and there was a great quote about meditation. Basically, if you can master meditation, you can be free of suffering. And it was a really good mm-hmm. quote. I'll try to find it. But we have one of the interviews that I did coming up here in just a moment. Animal Moves with Daryl Edwards. He is the best-selling author of Paleo Fitness and Paleo, is it Primal Play?
Primal Play.
PrimalPlay.com, how to move like an animal to get you leaner, fitter, stronger, and healthier for life. So stay tuned, everyone. It'll be coming up in just a minute. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. 20 years ago, when my mom had lung cancer, she didn't have many choices. But today, you do. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, please visit standuptocancer.org/lungcancer to learn more.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagazineonline.com. That's paleomagazineonline.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
It's time to turn back to nature and the wonderful plants that capture solar energy in a near magical way and then offer it to us so freely. Join Sun Warrior in our mission to renew ourselves, our minds, our bodies, and our world. Together, we can truly transform the planet one warrior at a time. Visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans, but they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education, and I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette, and I've got Rosalie Robinson in studio with me, and Daniel Tagg, Aviana Barrientos, and Diamond Gray on the controls. So this interview you're about to hear is just a short little interview that I did with Daryl Edwards. He is the founder of Primal Play. Powerful, practical, playful. Primalplay.com is his website. Fascinating man from the UK. He wrote the book Animal Moves, how to move like an animal to get leaner, fitter, stronger, and healthier for life. So we're going to let the tape play. The beginning of it's a little weird because he had just picked me up and then put me back down. That was his thing. He picked everybody up. So I have to say it was pretty good to be flung over a man's shoulders like that. I don't believe I've ever had a guy do that before.
Is he a big guy?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's a good looker?
I wasn't really, you know, I'm not looking, but, you know, I'm just saying. But yes, he was a very nice guy. Thanks, Rosalie, for putting me on the spot. But here we go with the tape. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the Paleo FX and One Life Radio. I've got Daryl's book here, Animal Moves.
Yes.
And I've got a scheduled play date with you. So what are we going to talk about?
Okay, so my book, Animal Moves, is about... if we train like animals, if we move like animals, we'll become more human.
I love that.
Right. So humans are not very good at moving in terms of specialty. So, for example, an ant can lift up to 100 times its body weight. Kangaroo can jump great distances. A cheetah can outsprint us easily. Dolphins can swim very, very well, extremely well. Right. Humans are jack of all trades, master of none. And that's what makes humans special. So when we're training, when we're thinking about fitness, when we're thinking about functional fitness, our function is being very adept at a lot of different skills. Walking, climbing, jumping, crawling, lifting, carrying, and so on. Different speeds, very slow to very, very fast. From lots of stamina and endurance to strong and powerful. So if we focus on that, we'll become healthier, fitter, and stronger. That's what Animal Moves is about.
I love it. I really do. And I love to play. I've always have. That's one of the reasons I love the outdoors. I've always been pretty happy, pretty in shape, because I like to play. And I think that as you get older, you forget the importance of play.
Yes. I mean, play, Einstein once said that play is the highest form of research.
Really?
And yes. And so for us, play is deemed to be just about fun and enjoyment and engagement. But actually, play is very, very serious. So you can watch children play. Sometimes they're laughing, joking, very jovial. There are other times where there's tension on their face, there's intense focus. They'll pretend that they're jumping the Grand Canyon or there's a pit of snakes. If they fall in, they create penalties. They'll say, "Oh, I've got four lives. If I fall in, get me out. We might need two of you to help me out." You know, they create a gym environment, a play environment, a playground in their minds, wherever they are. as adults, we need to be told you can work out here in this space.
Right.
You've got to wear the right type of clothing. You've got to look a particular way. And if you don't fit in, maybe fitness isn't for you. Okay? Your environment is your gymnasium. So my living room is my gym. My kitchen is my gym. My bedroom is my gym. My back garden is my gym. My local park is my gym.
How did you come to this discovery? Like, were you always like this? Or was there a point in your life that maybe you realized that, wow, I need to play more. I need to be outdoors. I need to be with the sun, you know, the moon and the stars, whatever. And I'm guessing you can even play at night, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, probably you should be sleeping at night. But I used to work in investment banking. I was a technologist.
Wow.
I worked all over the world. I was very good at my job. It was very lucrative. I used to drive, for example, an Aston Martin. So I was like James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
With
You're
glasses,
that guy.
Right?
Yeah.
And life was serious. Making money was serious. Being better than my peers was very, very serious. I wasn't a nice guy at all. And as well as not being nice, individual, I also got sick. So I suffered from high blood pressure. I had very elevated risk of cardiovascular disease, so I had a high risk of getting a heart attack within the next 5 to 10 years. I was pre-diabetic. I had all sorts of issues.
Wow.
Almost early onset chronic lifestyle disease is what I would call it.
And so many Americans out there listening right now are in that same space.
Yes.
They're in that same place. They don't know what to do, where to begin. Where do they begin? Where did you begin?
I began with movement. So I believe movement is medicine. Many of us are aware that food can be extremely beneficial in improving our health state. Many of us aren't aware that movement, physical activity, is just as important, if not more so.
More so. I'm a dancer. I love to dance. My favorite thing to do is dance. And I go off into a meditative state and I move my body and just let it move freely. It is the most incredible feeling in the world.
It is, for sure. I totally agree. Even if you can't dance, you can pretend.
You can still move.
You can pretend
you
to
don't
be
have
a dancer,
to, I don't
right?
have to be Beyonce,
yeah.
except in my head.
And I don't have to pretend to be with Beyonce. It can be in my head too, right?
Right, right.
So,
which is where we all live, by the way.
Exactly, for sure. So I think, dance or dancing, as you would say, dance is very, it's primal, it's primitive, it's instinctive. We have it in all of us.
Yeah.
It's a form of communication. It's a form of interaction. It's a rite of passage sometimes, it's a ritual. And so even dancing for many of us is, there's a disconnect. We have to be in a nightclub. We have to go to a dance class. We have to have only a certain type of music that I like to be able to dance.
Yeah.
Right, where actually,
yeah.
it's, you know, a baby, you could have any music on. The baby doesn't go, oh, I don't really like this.
They respond.
They just respond.
Yes.
They feel the rhythms.
Right.
They respond. They move. They have. They're not aware of how good it looks. Or, do you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
they're
absolutely.
They're just completely in the moment. And as adults, we need more of that. So for me, I'm not the bad dancer, right? But I tell you, I'm the best dancer when it's just me on my own.
That's me too.
Music.
Me and my kitchen and my Sonos.
Exactly.
And
yes.
my body and my mind is so free.
Yes.
And the movement that comes out of me is so extraordinary because I'm letting emotions and feelings and just moving my body
moving.
The way it was meant to be moved.
Meant to be moved. Exactly. Nature has given us this gift, which includes the ability to respond to rhythm, to respond to music. And dancing is a form of that. It's a way of kind of expressing ourselves
yeah.
through movement. And so primal play is about expressing ourselves through movement, but not just through dance. You know, dance is one of the inspirations, but through everything that humans have been built to do, have been designed to do. So nature's given us a wonderful gift. And it isn't just about getting fit. It isn't just about getting into shape, which is what most people associate exercise with.
Right.
It's actually about becoming more human.
Well, we're so conditioned to it. Like, for example, when we began this interview, okay, automatically your assistant was like, she got chairs out. And you and I, neither one of us wanted to sit.
No.
I don't want to sit. I want to stand up. I don't want to be sedentary. Like you, I'm looking at your primal play, Rediscover the Joy of Movement. How many of us are sedentary in right now in America? Let's look
90,
at this.
Basically 93% of adults
wow.
are sedentary.
And that's in the
right?
UK.
That's
okay.
in the UK.
In the
it's,
US?
It's more in the US.
Of course.
Right? Same for children, UK and US. So only about 5% of UK and US adults meet the minimum guidelines, which is 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity activity. right? Not very much, actually. 30 minutes, 5 days a week. Only 5% of us as adults meet that requirement. Kids should be getting 3 hours a day. Imagine 3 hours a day of moderate to vigorous intensity activity. Most of them are not getting that.
They're not,
that.
And that's part of, that is directly connected to the increase, the sedentary child,
yes.
To the increase in ADD and ADHD. Young For children sure. are, everything's young and new, and they're meant
yes.
to move
they're meant to
and
move.
Create, and they're supposed to be outside, which that's one of the reasons Montessori school, to me, is so incredible. That's where I chose to educate both of my children when they were small,
yes.
so they could get
well
out
done.
In nature,
yes.
so they could learn how to grow things, so you know, they could learn math a different way, not by
yes.
What standards here we say in America are the way children should be taught, which, by the way, is not effective.
It's not effective. Yeah. So, you know, in most of Europe, the academic year doesn't start until you're 7 years old. Before then, you don't go to school, right?
Right.
You're not taught to read. You're not taught to write until you're seven, right? But they still attain the same levels of academic achievement as nations where they start schooling at 3 and 4 years old, right?
Yeah.
So they have more opportunities to experience childhood. So we're so busy rushing
so important.
To adulthood.
Rushing them, rushing them off to college.
Them. Yes.
You know, to do what?
Exactly.
To do what?
Right? To do something that they may not enjoy later in life. So for myself, I loved computer science.
Mm-hmm.
I became a technologist. I was passionate about it, right? But I fell out of love with it. Because in some respects, I should have been doing this
right.
for longer.
Yes.
You know, I would have been a better person. I would have been a better human being. My life would have been more fulfilled.
But you wouldn't have gone through the journey and know what you know now. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a natural progression of
it
understanding.
Is.
We are about to wrap it up here with Daryl Edwards, author of the best-selling paleo fitness book, Animal Moves. Love this guy. Had such a good interview with him. And I'm going to give a mention to your website, primalplay.com. I think what you do and what you think and the message that you have is so critical for our country right now.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, it's a message for the whole world, to be honest. So America does have its unique issues in relation to health and the status of health for its citizens. But that epidemic is affecting pretty much all Western and developed countries.
Yes.
And increasingly developing countries. Too. So we need to do something about this. And I believe one solution, one antidote to a sedentary lifestyle is primal play. Because it gets people to focus on what they can get from movement immediately.
Well, you're a rock star here at Paleo FX, and you won an award for having the best website,
yes.
right? So congratulations to that.
Thank you.
And to our listeners that want to hear more from Daryl, I encourage you to listen to the podcast after the broadcast. We're going to continue recording here, but you'll only be able to hear it on our podcast. So everyone, we'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Wellbeing Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi everyone, it's Bernadette. Everyone knows that I'm a strong believer in the numerous health benefits of cannabinoids and CBD oils. As with any supplement, I always do my research and my homework to find the highest quality product on the market. That's why I'm so happy to announce our partnership with the H Hemp Company, founded by a group of the most experienced and respected names in the CBD community. H-Hemp offers a line of innovative products that are all natural and tested for quality. Choose from flavorful oils, restorative body balm, and minty breath spray, all at affordable prices. And for every H-Hemp product sold, the company makes a donation towards the fight against opioid and anti-anxiety drug addiction, an epidemic affecting millions of families across the nation today. H-Hemp products produce a sense of calm, fight post-workout inflammation, and the company gives back to our community. What more could we ask for? Search online for H-Hemp Company and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. That's OLR for 20% off your first order.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta-Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta-Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Wow.
I'm not really getting any of these songs today. It was like coming of age movies.
Coming of age movies.
I haven't watched.
Do you know what movie this is, Rosalie?
I don't know, but I want to dance.
I have no idea, yeah. But I sure do dancing. It's Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh my gosh, I should have known this.
My daughter would know that.
I asked
for
this movie for my birthday.
I'm going to throw this football over that mountain.
That's a good groove. Yeah.
Uncle Rico.
Yeah, Uncle Rico.
Oh my gosh, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Rosalie Robinson, and Daniel Tagg. Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center here in Big D. He is certified in orthokinetics and the biomechanics of resistance training. As well, he is a licensed massage therapist, and he holds belts in three different martial arts systems, and he was a wildland firefighter. And he can stack some luggage on top of a Subaru as well and strap it down.
Yep. Oh, my God.
We got some.
He helped us with our luggage when we went to leave town. We took Daniel out to lunch, and then we said, Daniel, you think you could help us get the right straps at Walmart and put the – because we had more people coming back than we did going down. And so Dan the man handled it for us, the wildland firefighter over there.
I feel like I was in and out of that Walmart in 3 minutes getting those straps.
You did.
Too.
You and Lexi went in, and you guys were in and out in three minutes while we waited in the Uber. I got to say, I was impressed. Yep. Well, you know, today we're talking about exercises to tone the arms. Of course, this applies mostly to women. It really does because, like you said – guys want guns and girls want little guns.
Right. Yes. Yep. Guys want massive arms. Girls just want lean, you know, toned arms. Mm.
They want model-esque arms.
Yeah.
Defined shoulders.
Defined, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you can look good in the strapless dress, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. So, what's first, let's talk about this. What is your definition of tone?
My definition, because the dictionary really doesn't have a definition of what we call tone for the body. My tone is being able to see the muscle without bulking and being lean. So you have to have some lean muscle on there. Like if you look at Galaga, the one that played Wonder Woman, if you look at her in her early days when she was a supermodel and she won Miss Israel, she was lean, but she had like zero muscle mass.
Yeah.
And just
she's so beautiful.
That to me isn't toned arms. She had arms, but they're just like skinny arms.
Skinny arms.
Whereas
yeah.
when she put on 17 muscles, a lean body or of lean muscle mass for the Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now she has toned arms to me.
Yeah.
She gained 17 pounds.
Well, she was probably leaner. Very underweight because, you know, models, when they photograph them, I mean, how many here have taken a picture and you're like, I look so fat? It's like you gain 10, 15 pounds just from the camera alone.
Yeah.
So I can understand that, but she looks amazing now. She really does.
And I think she looks a lot better when she gained more weight. It's like the difference between a cross country runner, they're lean, but they have no muscle mass, and the difference between a woman sprinter. They're lean and they might be a little bit more bulky than most women want, but that's what I would call toned, is more of a sprinter versus a cross country runner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so what are some of the good exercises for toning the arms?
So the biggest ones would just be the tricep extensions, right? You kind of push down. Yeah, you just you have the bar right, you know, right in front of you, or bands, which are even better. And you just kind of push back. Don't think about pushing down because then your shoulders will roll forward. Think about pushing back as much as you can. If you have a bar, you'll have to stop.
Well, you can feel it. Engage the triceps when you do that.
Exactly.
Chest out, right? Shoulders back, and just swing your arms back.
Yep, and try to keep that tricep engaged the whole time. It's all about time under tension.
So you don't lock your arms out.
Well, no, you can lock the arms out, but you can still keep the tension as the arms are locked out. That's actually an okay thing to lock out the arms on the triceps.
All right.
But you need to make sure that you have the triceps contracting before you ever move, and make sure when the elbows are locked out that they're still contracted. That's and no swinging, because you want that muscle to have time under tension.
Go slow, right?
Go slow. Make sure it's all contracted the whole time. Exactly. Yeah. Close grip push-ups would be another exercise.
Okay, now what are those?
So it's just where you put your hands, instead of having your hands out wide like most people do push-ups, you kind of have the elbows towards your sides, and you look at it, it's mainly an elbow movement, so then you're pushing your body weight up with your triceps. So it's a good no weight or just a body weight thing to do. Just make sure that your wrist has the range of motion to put your hand down, make a fist.
And you can do it with a little inclination if you need to, right? Incline, I should say, not inclination, but...
You could do incline or decline. That's going to put different forces on the triceps. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So, Diamond can throw those into her daily push-ups.
She could. I love that suggestion, right?
Yeah.
I would say the one to not do is dips. Even though it's getting the triceps, it's putting the shoulder in a very compromised position where you can tear certain muscles or wear down that joint a lot quicker. And the wrists are just too high for the benefits on that. So I would say keep the dips
out. I'm going to show you the one that Tina shows me. I'm going to find something here that I could replicate. I'm going to grab two books and pretend that they're 10-pound dumbbells. Yeah.
Okay. So she's grabbing the books. She's getting ready. She's getting up. She's not as serious today. Let's see. Usually she gets all serious about it. So she's laying down on her back, and then she's bringing the books up over her head and bringing them down towards the head and extending the elbows up. It's a 90-degree tricep extension, so her elbows are lined up over her shoulders as she's lying on her back, and she brings the forearms back towards her head and then brings the forearms back up to where they're directly over the shoulders without actually letting the elbow move forward or back. You're moving around the elbow. You're not moving the elbow forward or back. So that's a 90-degree tricep extension, and that is a great exercise. So there's ones, the first one I was, the tricep pushdowns, or the pushdowns, whatever you want to call them, your elbows are kind of by your sides and you're extending. That's a more shortened position for the tricep.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that you did is a more lengthened position for the tricep. So to get the full development of all three of those muscles, you need to work all those ranges. So putting those in, and I like that because you can just lay down on the ground or a bench, grab some dumbbells and do those.
10 pounds, you can't believe, in each hand. It doesn't sound like a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
But that's a lot. After about 8 or 10, your arms are, your triceps are burning.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the original one we talked about, the tricep extensions, which is one that people, I think, know most, you know, where you swing your arms back, but you shouldn't swing them. It should be a very
slow motion.
And controlled motion.
Yes.
But how much weight you can get a little more. You could do 15 pounds, right, in each arm?
It all depends on how much you can do for how many reps you want to do. So if you want to put on some lean muscle mass, you want to go anywhere from 8 to 12 reps at a slow pace and do at least 5 to 10 sets to gain a little bit of muscle.
5 to 10 sets.
5 to 10 sets. But you also want to periodize that to where sometimes you're doing, maybe 3 or 4 sets, but then you're doing more, 20 reps, and it's still engaged, still slow.
Mm-hmm.
Or then you might want to go through a strength phase where you do 15 sets of 3 or 5 reps and a lot heavier, but still controlled. So you need to kind of bounce back and forth. It's not one meets all. It's, you got to vary this so your muscle is constantly challenged in a different way.
Okay. So we've got about a minute here. Mm-hmm. What do you want people to, what do you want them to know about the best way to tone their arms?
I think the biggest thing is just hit them relatively consistent. And then know that whether you're rowing, doing a push, like a push-up, all that, your arms are being worked. And more specifically, if you want to just do them, do bicep curls, tricep extensions from different angles, kind of going where your arms extended back, where it's up closer. And just keep the muscle engaged all the time at the start, the beginning, and all the way through.
I have another question, teacher. I'm raising my hand. Okay, so every day, how many times a week? Because... bathing suit weather's coming up. Want my arms looking good. What do I need to do?
The arms need less time to recover than bigger muscle groups. So you could literally hit the arms 7 days a week. But on the day, you'd want to keep the volume a little lower. Instead of doing 15 sets, you might do 5 sets a day. If you only have 3 to 4 days to work out, then keep the sets a little higher.
How much weight?
So again, something that you can control with good form, with your shoulder blades back and down, and get the muscle engaged.
Yeah, you got to keep your shoulders back.
It's different for everybody. I would say start out lighter than you think first. Work on engaging the muscle. You should be able to engage that muscle with no weight.
Right.
And if you do that, bodybuilders do those posing routines all the time. That is actually a very good exercise. Mm-hmm. More for making the connection of the muscle, not so much for building it.
Yeah.
But start out lighter first. Make sure you can maintain form, then build from there where it's challenging.
All right. Daniel Tagg, always love what he has to say. And Rosalie Robinson coming up next. She is the president and founder of Consilium Human Capital, and she is an experienced executive coach. We're going to be talking about the power of questions. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagazineonline.com. That's paleomagazineonline.com.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans. But they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem, Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education. And I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
Summer loving had me a blast. Oh, I know this one.
Oh,
come on.
Is that Grease?
She got
Yay!
It.
Woo, I got one.
I don't do good on these movies.
I like that song. I like that movie, though.
That's with
John Travolta.
John Travolta.
John Travolta.
Yeah,
and Olivia Newton-John. Right. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I've seen parts of it. I don't know if I've ever seen it all the way through. I'm not big into musicals.
Done so good at
you're not into musicals?
No.
Unless that was a good one, though. Olivia Olivia Newton-John was pretty hot in that movie, and so was John Travolta. That was what? How many years ago was that? That was a long time ago.
Was it 70s or 80s?
It was in the 80s.
It was 1978.
Ooh.
Wow. My gosh. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's older than we thought.
Yeah. Mm. I remember that song. I liked my favorite song in that movie was You Better Shape Up, where she throws a cigarette down, like squishes it with her high heel.
Yeah.
She had on that sexy black outfit.
Yes.
That was a great one. I love that.
She had attitude.
She did. Didn't she? I mean, I thought it was so fabulous. It was like pumped.
He shaped up too.
Yeah, he did. Didn't he? He was like a little lap dog after that. Just saying.
Oh my gosh, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. Excuse me. Oh my gosh, we've been laughing a lot during the show. It's always great to have you in studio, Rosalie. I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our weekly newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, because they bring this programming to you. Great companies that have been with us for a long time, like Sun Warrior. You can also find Sun Warrior at Smoothie King and Vitamin Shop. And then there's the H Hemp Company. That's the Honest Hemp Company. Use the code OLR to get 20% off your first order. They have an amazing peppermint hemp oil breast spray that I absolutely love. I carry it in my purse. We actually gave some of them away at Paleo FX to a lot of the people that we ran into. And Paleo Magazine, another brand partner with us. I absolutely love Paleo Magazine, full of all kinds of really great articles about nutrition and diet and just lifestyle, how to live your life the absolute best, with a lot of recipes. Same with the Well-Being Journal, another incredible publication that we are lucky to be partnered with. They have some of the most amazing writers. Many of these experts and doctors have actually been on the show many times, like Dr. Naysha mm-hmm. Winters, an incredible woman and an expert in metabolic disease. And so just a really, really good journal. And of course, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, with our own Sean Wells on the show regularly, who is a fellow of the ISSN. Mm-hmm. So today, Rosalie, we are talking about the power of questions. So how can questions help you create a lasting and positive impression?
Well, if they're intelligent questions, first off, and impactful questions, right?
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good definition. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think the big thing is, if you consider relationships, every time you connect with someone, you ever notice how people, when they meet, you have the person who can meet someone's total stranger, and they just seem like they fell into a conversation. You know, take a plane ride. I take trips a lot. So you're sitting on a plane next to someone and you notice they're just chatting and you're like, oh, how long have you known? I just met them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what do you find out as you listen? One of them is very good at asking questions. Right. So being able to connect on that level. And how many of us don't really like to talk about ourselves? Most people, if you ask a meaningful question, they'll kind of start to talk and unfold in front of you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big part when you look to create that positive impression, whether it's just connecting because I want to go on a date, or I want to connect because I want to build a friendship, or it's a future business alliance, right? It is about asking the questions, not just yes or no, that will help you get to know that person better.
Yeah, I like it. I'm trying to think of a good question I can ask you right now.
I have one for you.
Or do you? Okay, go ahead. The book of questions.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, because I got this one. I like this one. So if you could live to the age of 100, having either the body or the mind of a 25-year-old for the rest of your life, which would you prefer?
I don't know. the body or the mind? Well, the mind, obviously. The mind of a 25-year-old. I mean, aging is a beautiful thing, actually.
Yeah.
Because you learn so much. You've got this incredible wisdom that you can't get any other way other than living. So, you know, yeah, you might get a few wrinkles. You might not like exactly what you look like in the mirror, but you get more comfortable with yourself as you get older. That's what I would say. But yeah, I definitely would pick the mind.
Yeah. See, well, there you go. And you learn, right, from a person answering the question, right?
So what did you just learn about me?
What did I just learn? That being someone who can think and have your mind working.
I'm deeper than a puddle.
Well, the.
That's hilarious.
She should be a comedian. She should so be a comedian. Half time I come on the show, I'm laughing myself to pit, just a bit. Yeah. No. I learned that clearly, you know, being able to think, your cognitive capabilities are way more important to you than those physical capabilities.
Well, and I'm not vain. I like to look pretty. Everybody does.
Yes,
but I'm not vain. It's not the most important thing to me. I would never have a facelift. I'm not judging people that have.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's kind of funny that they're even kind of going out of vogue. Women aren't doing that anymore like they did 20, 30 years ago, at least not the ones I hang with.
Yeah.
Maybe the ones that are a little more concerned about their mind instead of just what their face looks like.
I'm a prissy girl, so I would have to go with looking like 25.
You would?
Yeah, I'd go with looking like 25. Yeah.
And lose your brain?
It didn't say lose my brain. It didn't say lose it. It just said, which one would you rather have? And I said, well, I think I do better as I get older with my brain. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though it may be less functional, you can take things to help that.
Yeah.
But my wisdom, I'm like, I don't want to think like a 25-year-old, but I don't mind looking like one. I don't mind looking like one. But, you know, I also, you know, that's just my thought process around it.
Well, you have control over your body. You can make your body look pretty darn close to a 25-year-old. My body looks like almost a 25-year-old, except for my arms, where I need to tone them a little bit, maybe. But seriously.
You could. I have an ongoing battle with my mouth, though. You see, I open the mouth by the fridge. I happen to have something. It just goes right in. I'm working at it.
You did so good, though. The other day, you had donuts for my birthday out there at
your
house.
When was your birthday?
It was, I don't know, a couple Wednesdays ago.
Oh, man. Yes. And you didn't tell us.
I'm that guy. Right.
Are you serious?
She had a whole bunch of donuts at mm-hmm. our Bible study, and mm-hmm. she did not have one. I had like five.
I was so glad they ate them all. I was like, oh yes, you all must finish these. So don't you
cannot
these
take them
house.
Home.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So yeah, no, I did. I'm good at that. And I've gotten better, you know, when I want to, I can do it. But I think that's the challenge. And I think when you think about, you know, bringing it back to kind of questions, just to think how we just kind of all jumped in mm-hmm. from one question and kind of talking through it. It's fun. It's whimsical. You get to know each other. And I think that's the thing, is just being curious, right? And an interesting thing, this article, I'm a huge snob when it comes to reading. I really do love the Harvard Business Review. And they have an article this month in there on the surprising power of questions. And I mean, they're going after it from a more clinical perspective as they talk about it and look at it. But I think of it from a human resources perspective and a business perspective. People lose sight of how important questions are, even when you're interviewing, right? You go for an interview and you think, well, I'm trained to answer questions, so I'm coming to sell you on mm-hmm. me. And you miss the fact that if you do your homework before you go, you should have some very thoughtful questions. Because remember, does this company deserve to have you there, right? Is this the right environment where you're going to thrive? Is your boss, does he or she, potential new boss, have the right style that matches your style? Well, you won't know if you don't ask the right questions. You want to come prepared with that.
So what's a great question to ask someone?
Oh, well, when you go on
when you're going on a job interview.
Well, one of the things I always like to ask is, tell me how you describe the culture in your organization, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How is it evolving? Tell me a little bit about how it's evolving from where it was when you joined the company to where it is today. That tells you they're going to have to paint the little journey for you, so you get to see where was it when they started versus where it is today. You want to take away some of those nuggets. And I think when we interact with each other, whether we're strangers on a train, strangers on a bus or a plane, a question that just is open-ended and allows you to curiously get to know the other person next to you is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. You know who is a master of asking questions is Tim Ferriss.
Oh,
he
yeah.
built his whole reputation yeah. on
absolutely.
Asking really
great
insightful
questions.
Very
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
Very
no,
nice.
He's this book. His book's all. Yeah. He's just a fascinating man. He really See? Is. Okay. So how can people prepare without sounding canned?
Well, I mean, one, you have to be thoughtful, right? So you want to make sure you're preparing a little bit, thinking in your head, what kinds of things are you curious about? Don't have the standard, so how are you doing today? Okay, well, yeah, all right, well, tell me that, all right. But, oh, did you have a good day? That's mm-hmm. a yes or no, so you want to kind of avoid those questions. You really want to think about what's important to you and ask a question that'll let you get to know more about that person mm-hmm. in that kind of reality. Be mindful, though, if it's a private question, the person might set up some barriers, right? Because mm-hmm. they don't want to divulge that much to you. You're maybe new to them, or you know, you're not in that inner circle yet.
Yeah.
But you want to think of what's important to me, what's interesting to me, so you can truly be curious and listen.
Yeah. I had some questions, but we're out of time. Can I ask the interviewer, so what are you thinking right now? What are you thinking about me right now? You know?
Well, you could ask them that, but a better question if you're on an interview is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well have I performed?
Doing?
Yeah, to close the deal insightful. For this job. Yeah, because if they say, oh, you're about a 6 or 7, that's a big gap to 10. You're not getting the job. Mm.
Yeah.
Probably.
Ah, well, okay. Always love having you in studio, Rosalie Robinson. You can find all of our guest experts at oneliferadio.com. Everyone, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.